Okay, these are the four that you need to download, so if you haven't downloaded them, please download them. I'm gonna get started and then you can download them in between as we're getting up, but you need to download those four. So first math, loop file, work areas, and user input. Download and unzip. I shouldn't have said just download. Download and unzip. Oh, we're up to 8 today. I think I gave it to me. Yeah. I'll keep that one. So basically, all the ones at the top, except you can forget the first one, which was Hello World or something. And the basic math we've already looked at. But other than that, I want you to download down up to arrays. We're going to arrays on to the site. Okay, today is going to be a heavy day because there's a lot of information in here. So it's the kind of day you may want to, even though you're here, listen to the recording and look at the notes a second time. Okay, then you want to go to software. And when you get to software, you are picking Visual Studio 2017. So click on Visual Studio 2017. Slow, very slow. Mine isn't because it's not part of the VM setup. Mine is a separate standalone, so mine goes slow. I think it goes slow, but it's not as bad as yours. Nobody was sitting at that computer. It seems to help if you are. Is yours going faster or is yours
very slow?
Okay, well.
No one was
at the computer. Yeah, no, somebody was. No. So that's why I wondered if that made a difference. But it's a different login, so I guess it doesn't make sense. It's just wishful thinking. When you get there, you're going to do File, Open Project. Oh, good. It just crashed again. But at least it only crashed. It crashed right at the beginning as opposed to losing everything a little bit later.
I guess software is not working for anyone today. I tried something in the morning and that was just failing over and over again.
Yuck. Yes, technology is a wonderful thing when it works.
Mm-hmm. Very stressful when it doesn't.
Yes. Did I just exit the wrong thing? I think I did. Not having a good day either. Okay, so I'm doing File, Open, Project Solution, and that's what I wanted to take a picture of. Well, it seems to be letting me take pictures now. So that is a good thing. So File, Open, Project Solution, go find where you put the things that you saved and unzipped.
First,
And First Math is what I'm bringing up. And if you keep clicking on it, you want the thing that says SLN or has an icon. So I'm clicking on the SLN and it opens. Sometimes. So what I've got here is the form math. And the first four things, if you look at the form, the first four things are very similar to what we had before. Okay, add, subtract, multiply, divide. And then I have three other things down below. So I'm gonna double click on add. And when I do, it brings up the add. And remember that like JavaScript, you can't just add or you end up concatenating. You need to have C integer in front so that it converts it to an integer, just like you would have pass int in JavaScript, okay? So you need to have that conversion or you end up getting a concatenate. Okay, so now we're gonna go down and look at question one. And question one is asking whether things are the same or are they different. Okay? So, if I hit the start to run this, and I put in 45 and 41, two, and hit question one, it comes back with different. So it's comparing what's in first text to what's in second text, and it's coming up and telling me that those are different, okay? If I make them both 42, then it's coming up and telling me that they're the same, okay? And that will work for both characters, alpha characters, other kinds of characters. So if you put in cat and dog, it will be different, and cat twice, it will be the same. What happens is whatever is entered on the form is considered to be text. Okay, whatever is entered on the form is considered text. So if I come down here and I compare 42 to 5, and I hit question two, it comes back and tells me that question two tells me the first is greater than second. Okay? The first number is greater than the second. But that happens because I converted it to integer so that it knows it's working with numbers. If I had not converted that to integer, then it would have actually come back and told me the second num was the biggest, because it compares the first character. And the first character compares 4 to 5, 5 is bigger, so second number wins. If I had 4, 2 to 4, 5, then the 4s are the same and moves on to the 2 and the 5 and compares them. So if the first two numbers are the same, it moves to the second number and compares. And then it moves to the third. So when you're dealing with numbers, you want to make sure that the computer knows that you want them treated like a number. And so you do a convert integer or convert DEC, D-E-C, that converts it to a decimal number. Okay, and so I did the convert integer, and it converted it to an integer, and then when it compared accurately. Okay, but I've got a note in there, and then there's one of the later programs we're going to look at today has it doing it the wrong way, and we'll look at that. In this one, I've got three possibilities. First is greater, first is less equal. And notice how I only asked two questions. Because if there's only three possibilities, I ask the first question. If it's not true, I ask the second question. If it's not true, then I know it's the third. Okay? I know it's the third possibility. So I don't have to ask if it's equal. Okay? Because if it's not greater and not less, it has to be equal. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Now, the next one is using a variable. Okay? Remember in JavaScript, I keep saying that. In JavaScript, you define variables with a var. Okay, here I define them with a dim. So dim defines a variable. So I define work answer as an integer. Now this is a local variable because it is declared in a subroutine. So therefore it is local. Okay? It's declared in a subroutine, so therefore it's local. That means that that subroutine can use it, but the other subroutines can't, because they're not going to know anything about it. It was declared for this subroutine and this subroutine only. Okay? Now, if I want to make something global, which means it's available to every subroutine, I declare it up here. So right in here, I declare global variables. So if I declare them right up there, right under the public statement, public classes for math, if I declare it right up there, then it's global. And global means that all the subroutines can use that variable. It's available to all the subroutines. Okay? So if I want to use it multiple places, I put it up there and make it global. If I just want it for one particular subroutine, then I'm fine making it local. And I managed to, wouldn't it be nice if that would move? Oh, it did. Good. Okay, so now let's look at the routine that was global. I mean, that was local. So I said here, down here, I defined work answer as an integer. Okay? So I said, okay, work answer, I wanted to do a calculation. Work answer equals text first minus text second. Okay, and it gets stored in work answer. And then I said, okay, if work answer is greater than zero, put out greater than zero. If it's not, in other words, if it's a negative number, put out not greater than zero. So if I run this and I put in 40 and 12 and ask it use variable, it comes out and tells me greater than zero. Okay? So it does the calculation, it subtracts second from first, and it comes up with 28, and that's greater than zero. Okay? If I make this 120 and hit variable, it comes back with not greater than 20, because that would have been a negative answer. 120 from 40 is going to be a negative answer. And so it comes back with not greater than zero. Okay. Questions? Yes?
So I have just the actual, like the program up, I don't have the code. How do I get the code up?
Double click on any one of the buttons.
Okay.
on the form, double click on any one of the buttons.
It's super slow, so it might take us a second.
Yeah.
Which program do I load from the website?
That one was First Math. But we're finishing that, so moving on to the next one. And the next one is Loopswile. Loopswile, I think it says 120, but it's Loopswile. Okay. Did you get the code?
I'm still loading it.
Okay. Once it's come up, then you have two tabs here. Design, code, design, code, design, code, and you can go back and forth. But for the first time, you want to double click. There's other ways of bringing it up, but the easiest way is just pick a button and double click on it. Yeah.
It says one or more projects in the solution not loaded, correct?
Can you look at?
What is the next?
Did you understand it?
Pardon me?
The next one?
Loopswile. Okay, so we're going to close this one down. And then you're going to open Loopswile. So I'm going to do a file close solution and a file open project, and I'm going to go look for Loopswile. And I open the SLM. Okay, this is the one that has a whole lot, and we discovered in the last class that apparently the last time I taught this, I doctored it up a little. So your version isn't quite the same as mine. And if I was smart, I would have downloaded it, but it actually worked well, so I left it the way it was. Okay. First of all, I've got three things I've defined up there, and notice I've added one more thing, and that is I've given initial value to each of them. So I've said dim, and I've got work count as an integer equals one, which means starts out at one. I can change it, but it starts at one. Work total is double. Double is another way of saying decimal. So that is basically saying that I have a decimal number there, and its initial value is zero. And then the last one is work amount, and its double is zero. Okay. Pardon me?
Do you want us to put the last line in, whatever's missing from yours?
Work them out?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, eventually. You don't probably need it right now. Okay, so what I had done is apparently I had added this line, and that work amount should be saying text amount. That should be text amount dot text. Okay, so that was the way that yours apparently looks. Okay, so yours apparently looks like that. Yes.
Can you explain how you got the code again?
How I got the code, double click on a button. Any one of the buttons on the form, if you double click on it. I added those in. You don't have them, I have them. We're going to add them back in a minute anyway. But that's the way it started out. Okay? So, being lazy, I'm going to go comment out those, and we'll try it with them commented out. So that one is a comment, this one is a comment, this one is a comment, okay? And this one is also a comment because I'm doing it a little bit differently, and I actually want to say work total equals work total plus text amount dot text. Okay, so that's what yours looks like, I think, if you ignore the comments out?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, that's what yours looked like. And then we're going to look at putting the comments back in. But that's what it looked like. Actually, that's not what it looked like. That minus is not looking good. There. Okay, so what I have here is a do loop. Okay?
I have a plus here, no minus.
You're right. I got enough sleep last night.
Yeah.
Looked like a minus. Okay, so what I've got here is a very simple loop. I said, do while word count is less than or equal to text how many. And text how many is a box on the text. So if I run this and bring up the form, slowly but surely, there it is. Okay, so text how many is going to be the number I put in here. The amount to add is the number I put in here. Result is the result of doing it. So let's say I say 5 and 10. 5 is how many times, 10 is amount to add. So it starts out by saying, do while word count is less than or equal to how many, text how many. Now notice I'm converting that to an integer because I have put a word count up here as an integer. And so I want to make this an integer. So I'm comparing integer to integer because computing always works best if you compare like types. So if I convert that to an integer, I am comparing integer to integer. And as I said, everything that is put on a text box is considered text. So if I want it to be considered a number, I have to convert it. When I define a variable, I get to tell it what type it is. So I don't have any conversion problems. So I'm saying do while word count is less than or equal to whatever is in the text how many box. Well, the text how many box has a 5 in it. So basically, I am saying do it 5 times. Okay? So I'm saying word count, which is 1, is less than or equal to 5. Then I drop down and say, okay, now take the text amount that is in that box and add it to word total. Okay? So I started out and word count was a 1 and word total was a 0. So now I've come down and said, add to work total whatever is in text amount. So it's now a 10. Add work amount dot text amount dot text to work total and then put it back into work total. So it's now a 10. And then I said add 1 to work count. And then I hit the word loop. Notice that there's no curly braces around the code. It starts with the do while and the loop is the end of it. So that tells it that it's done. So it loops back and it says, okay, work count 2, work total is 10, works, loops back is 2 less than or equal to 5. Yes, it is. So it adds amount to work total, which gets it up to 20, adds 1 to work count, which gets it up to 3, and it will keep going through this loop until word count is a 6, because 6 is not less than or equal to 5. Okay, so when work count hits a six, it will get out. And when work count is equal to a six, it's going to show result as being the total. Okay? So if I click on, yeah, right. Did I actually make it go away? Apparently I did. Whatever I clicked on. Okay, so we'll try that again. 5, 10, and I click on process, and it becomes 50. Okay, so it got up to, work total got up to 50, and work count got up to 6. Because work total would have gone 30, then 40, then 50. And 30 was work count at 4, 40 is at 5, 50 is when it said 6. Did I say that right? So this goes to 30, this goes to 4, this goes to 40, this goes to 5, this goes to 50, this goes to 6. And at that point, when I go back, 6 is not less than or equal to 5, so it's out of there. Okay, now there is also a do until down here, which does exactly the same thing. Adds to work total, adds one to count, adds to count. The difference between those two is that, like other things we have looked at, the do while, has its condition at the top. So it's possible that it never even enters the loop. If I had set work count at 100, it would never have entered the loop. Down here with the do until, it will always do the loop once because there's no condition at the top. And there's going to be a question like that on the final, I absolutely promise you. Okay? So, the do will cause it to do that once and then check to see if it should do it again. But it will always do it once. These will end up with the same results. If I do the do, I've got the same results. Notice the difference in the check. Work in the until, it says until work count is greater than, okay? So when work count is a 6, it's greater than 5, that gets me out. The while talks about what keeps me in. Do while the count is less than or equal to what's in the text, how many. So it says stay in as long as word count is less than or equal to 5. So stay in while it's less than or equal to 5. The until says get out when it is greater than 5. So they both work, but they are asking the question in different ways. One is saying what's keeping me in, the other is saying what's getting me out. And you as a programmer get to choose which way you want to do that. If you want to test what keeps you in, or test what gets you out. But those are two ways of doing it. Okay. So now I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at the way I fixed it. So we're going to change this to say work amount. And as you said, therefore I need to define work amount. Okay, because if I don't define work amount, then this, it doesn't know about work amount. So I have to define work amount. And I'm going to take all of the comments out and turn these back into part of the code. Okay, so I've turned those back into part of the code. So now watch what happens if I run this. Okay. how many times I'm going to put in the 5, and I'll put the amount in as 10. But in fact, if you look, I don't actually use the text amount. That box, I don't actually use it here, okay? Because it used to say text amount plus text. Actually, I just added it twice, didn't I? It used to say, changes not allowed while code is running, thank you. Okay, it used to say the text box there, take what's in the text box and add it. But now I'm saying work amount. Well, the nice thing about this is that now I'm letting the user choose what they want to put in. Notice the input box when we come to it. I put in the 5, I put in the 10, and I say process, which is the while. Notice the prompt that comes up. Okay? The prompt says enter amount. It's an input box and it says as its message, enter amount. So that is like the prompt in JavaScript, okay? The input box is like the prompt in JavaScript. So I am prompting the user to tell me what the amount should be, and whatever they enter is being stored in work amount. So let's say they put in a 1. Okay, so they're putting in a 1, and I say okay. It comes back and tells me, because I have a message box, which is like an alert. So I'm putting up alert and telling them what the total was. The total started out at 0. I put 1 in. It added 1 to total and put it back into total. So the total is now 1. Then I click the OK. And this time I'm going to enter a 2. So now the total is 3. 1 plus 2 equals 3. So if you look at the add, it had in it, 1 was in work total. I just put in a 2 as work amount. 1 plus 2 equals 3. So work total became a 3. Okay. So now I'm going to say okay, and I'm going to put in a 3. Click okay, and it's now come back with a 6. 1 plus 2 plus 3 is 6. Then I say okay, it comes back and gives me an input box. I'm going to say a 4 this time, and so now it's a 10. 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 is 10. So now I'm going to say okay, and this time I'm putting in a 5. It's coming back and telling me that means 15. And at this point, the loop is done. So it prints it out again and puts it up on the form at 15. And the reason I get a message box twice is I have a message box in the loop and a message box outside. So I got to 15 twice from the two different message boxes. Okay. So now I know that the total is 15. So what that did for me is the last time I put the 10 up there, and that 10, as I said, is useless. Because I'm not using it this time. Last time when I put the 10 up, I couldn't change it. It added 10 5 times. By using an input box, I give the user a chance to enter 5 different numbers. All 5 is the same, but they can enter 5 different numbers. And the reason is, between the calculations in the loop is something like a nanosecond. Not enough time for me to change the box. So it has to be the same. Okay, when I have the user putting it in with an input box, it's like a prompt, it stops and waits. It waits forever until you finally put the number in, and then it continues on its way. So, by having the input box, I gave flexibility to the user, okay? That they could enter different numbers. If I wanted to do the same number five times, then why bother with the input box? I'll just put it on the form. Does that make sense? That would mean nod your head. Okay. Questions? So what we have here is the input box is like the prompt. The message box is like the alert. Okay. We define some variables up here with the dim. And in Visual Basic, I get to choose whether I want them to be global or local. And I chose that I wanted them to be global, so they'd be available to everything. Okay. Now, the third loop we have down here at the bottom is a for loop. And a for loop tells all the information in the for statement. And we looked at that actually in JavaScript too. So I'm saying start word count equal to 1. Go up to what you enter in text, how many? So that means go up to 5. Go from 1 up to 5. And step 1 means every time you go through, add 1 to word count. So word count is going to add 1 every time it goes through the loop. If I put step 2 there, it would add 2. Step 3 would add 3. And I can have negative numbers and have it go backwards if I want to. Okay, start out at 100 and go down to 50 or something by step 10. And I can do that. Okay? So in this one, I don't have to add to word count the way I did in the ones above. If you look at the until one, you notice I added to word count. In this one, I don't have to add to word count because step one takes care of it. Step one is add one every time you come back. So I don't have to do it. It's taken care of for me. And I go through and add the amount every time to the total, come up with the grand total. So it works exactly the same way. Okay, so now I want to do a problem that we have. I'm going to start this, and I'm going to say 5 times, and I want to add 10. And I'm clicking the 4, and it's coming up with 50. So I clicked the 4, and it came up with 50. If I'd clicked any one of these, it would have come up with 50. Now what I'm going to do is go and click the until. Now, in reality, I would never have 3 paragraphs that did exactly the same thing, one using a while, one using an until, and one using a for. So this isn't a very real problem, but it is a problem. If I go back now and hit the until button, having just done the for button, I hit the until button, it comes back with the final answer of 10 and 60. Now, why does it do that? Because when I left here, work total was 50. Okay, when I left here, work total was 50. I come to the until. The until doesn't ask me any condition, so I drop in. I add 1 to work total, which gets it up to 60. Then I say add 1 to work count. Well, work count's already maxed out because we saw it max out down in the 4. So when I add 1 to it, I'm over the five that is in the how many. So it then says loop until word count is greater than how many, text how many, it's greater. Because I maxed out down here, so it's greater. And so, since it's greater, it doesn't go back and do the loop again, it's done. So I end up with it saying 60. That 60 comes over here because it went through the until once. It went through the do until once. And the reason it only went, the reason it did it once is the do always executes at least once. Okay? So what did I have to do to make this better? I had to, up here, prior to the do loop, I wanted to reset. And I would reset word count equal to one, and I'd reset word total equal to zero. And if I put those two statements in, and they're simply a statement like that, where I write word count equals one, word total equals zero. If I do that, it's not going to be a problem. Okay? So I'm going to go back and reset. And so over here, up above the do, I'm going to put in work count equals one. Let me get rid of the ink. Work total equals zero. So that means before I do that loop, reset. So if I run this now, patience. If I run this now and I have the 5 and the 10, and I say do the for loop, it comes up with 50. And then I say do the until loop, it actually ran it again and came up with 50 again. Okay? If I change this to 12, then you can see that when I run it again, it does 12 times 5, it comes up with 60. And so it is adding the amount. 60 probably wasn't a great one to choose. Maybe I should make that 20. And then when I process the until, it comes up with 100. Okay? So I run through now at this point the for loop, and I've run through the until 3 times. And it's always coming up with the right answer because I reset. And I reset the count to 1 and said start counting all over again. And I zeroed out the work total so that I didn't have anything left over from the others. Questions? Okay. And I think that covers what I wanted to cover in this one. Okay, so the next one is what? The next ones are going to be kind of repeats, because since I went in and made all those neat changes to this one, I kind of killed the thunder on the others. So we're going to look next at work areas, and then we're going to look at user input. So I'm going to get out of this, and I probably should take those two out so that it doesn't save my fix. You want to save changes? No. And what did I say I wanted to do? Work areas. Work areas. Okay. Here I dimmed work answer as double. because I want to use it two places. I want to use it here, and I want to use it here. Okay, so what I'm going to do is take it out up here. And I'm going to put it down in check two. And notice what happened when I made it local instead of global. This check one no longer understands Wergansa. So it's put the red lines under it because I made it local and it doesn't understand, okay? It is now local as opposed to it's not global anymore. Okay, so it's not global anymore. And so by taking Wergansa and pulling it down here, I made it local to this subroutine. So the other subroutine doesn't recognize it. And since the other subroutine doesn't recognize it, it very nicely tells you no. Okay, and that's certainly an advantage over JavaScript, because I look at this and I see those red lines and I know there's something wrong with it. Okay? And looking at it, it tells me the Wergansa is not workable, and I look up and see that it's not declared as a global, it's declared locally, and so I know what the problem is. So now if I try to run this, it comes up and says there were build errors. Would you like to continue and run the last successful build? And I'm going to say no. And notice what it does now. It gives me some very specific information. Wergansa is not declared. Okay, so it's told me the Wergansa is not declared. So it is picking up on that problem and letting me know that I can't use Wergansa that way and letting me know that it's not declared. So the fix is to take Wergansa out of here and go back and take that quote out so it is no longer a comment. And now I've got Wergansa working in both. Okay, so now it's no longer giving me the curly brace. It's working in both. Okay, so now I'm going to run this for real. Sometime. And I'm going to put in there 8 and 4 and 2. And I'm doing check 1. And it comes back and tells me the answer is 6. Okay? Now I am going to put the same numbers in, but I'm clicking check 2. And it comes back and tells me the answer is 10. Why? No, it's doing it. What's the difference between check 1 and check 2? Yeah.
Is it check 1 is adding the second number and the third number, and check 2 is adding the first number and the third number?
No, not adding. What's the difference between those two?
It's the integer.
No, they're both there. Actually, you're right, it's not up here, but it's all right because that's the divide. The problem is, remember orders of operations? In this one, the divide is being done first. So I have 8, 4, and 2, and it's doing the divide. And so, okay, I've got 8, four and two. And the first thing it does is do the divide, which gives me a two, and then it does 8 + 2 = 10. This one has parentheses around the add. So the add get done first. So 8 + 4 = 12 divided by 2 = 6. So it's the order of operations. Just like in math, division is a higher ranking than addition. And so without telling it that the addition has to be done first, it does the division first. Okay? So it's an order of operations deal. And since I want the add to be done first, I have to put the parenthesis around it. If indeed what I wanted was the other one, then I don't use the parenthesis. I guess it depends on which one I actually wanted. Okay? But I have to be cognizant of the fact that that parenthesis makes a big deal. I converted them to integer for the add, and as he pointed out, I didn't do the convert on the third in the first one, but it really doesn't matter because I'm doing a divide. Okay. Although it's always a good idea to do that because, again, everything comes in as text. If I convert it, then I am making sure it gets done and that Visual Basic doesn't figure out that because I'm doing a calculation, it should convert it. So it's always better in math to put in this convert to integer or convert to decimal. Okay. Now, we talked last time about the fact that you have text. And down here, I have two that are very similar as well. So if I put in, I don't need the third for this one. If I put in 41 and 5, and I do a compare, it comes back and tells me that the first is bigger than the second. Okay. If I keep the same numbers and I use problem, it comes back and tells me first is not bigger. And the reason is that this one does not convert it to an integer. So it compares 4 to 5. 5 is bigger, so therefore the second one is bigger. On the compare, I convert both of them to integers. And so I'm comparing number to number, and it knows when I'm dealing with numbers that 41 is greater than 5, so I got the bigger. Okay? But without converting them, it was comparing string or text. And string or text means start with the first character against the left wall, compare them, and that will tell you if it's bigger. Okay? So it compared the 4 to the 5. The 5 was bigger, so it told me that the first is not bigger than the second. And that's the kind of thing that drives people crazy, because you look at it and 41 and 5, yeah, it is bigger. Okay? But because I didn't convert it to integer, it doesn't tell me that. Okay. I think that covers what I wanted to cover in this one, so we'll bring up the next one. Which is user input. Yeah?
What if you're double-clicking it and it's not downloading?
Here comes Lindsay.
Let me see.
Yeah. the minus magic fingers. Flicks it. I flick it. Nope. Done.
That's right. And anybody that doesn't believe in flying saucers, they're little tiny things that come in and hit the keyboard. Okay, so here I've got the last one that I'm doing, and I defined three things as decimal. In another one, I define them as double. This one, I define them as decimal. Okay? Then I have an input box. Now watch how the input box works. So if I say start, okay, so I'm putting in somebody's name, Susan, and then I say click here. And that box comes up. And that box will stay there forever unless I do something about it. Okay? Now notice what the box has. It says input box, and then it said enter hours worked, which is there as kind of a message, comma hours, which is there kind of as a title. Okay? So it is showing my message and the title. And then I can put in the hours worked. So I'm going to put in 40. And then it comes back and it says enter pay per hour. And again, enter pay per hour, comma, hourly pay rate is the title. That's the message that I'm putting in. Okay? So I now have, let's say, 50. And I click the OK. And it calculates and comes up with 2,000. So I multiply work pay per hour by work hours and put it in work gross pay, which I defined up there. And then I put it up in a message box, okay? And the message box has the name of the, I didn't have anything in there for putting up the hours. And so it uses just the user input up there as the kind of title. Message box is MSGBOX is kind of the shorthand. There is an MESSAGEBOX that has a whole load of different kinds of things you can make fancy and do if you want to play with that. So I've got the message box comes up with 2,000, and then I click on that. And I've got the 2,000 there with the dollar sign and the decimal point and the comma. That's because I said format is currency with gross pay. So take with gross pay, run Visual Basic's format as currency. Okay, it has a format as currency function. So it runs that function on it and puts the result out in the text box. In text gross pay. And when you put that in the text box, you're seeing 2,000 with the dollar sign and everything because it's formatted it as currency. Okay. So I said, take the number, format it as currency. Now, it's been turned into a text at this point because numbers have to be pure numbers. They can have decimal points, but that's it. So at this point, if I decided I wanted to calculate the taxes, forget it, okay? I should have done that before I converted it over to currency. And I can still go back and use text gross pay, work gross pay. I can still go back and use work gross pay, but this one now is no longer a number, it's a string, okay? Because I put in non-numeric characters into it. So that's how I can format the stuff. Okay, do you remember everything?
No.
No? Okay, your first assignment in Visual Basic is to go back and do the JavaScript assignment that you did first. only now do it in Visual Basic. Okay? So you're going to take in the height, width, and length of a box. So what would you put on the form in order to take those in?
Three boxes.
That's
height,
right.
Width, and length.
So I put in three text boxes. It would be nice if I put labels on them too. So I'm going to have labels and text boxes maybe. And then I'm going to have what else on the form?
The button that will calculate it.
That's right, a button that will calculate it, and what else?
Another text box that displays the result.
That's right. I need another text box that will say displays the result. And so I'm going to have text boxes to take in the data, a text box that is output, and when I click on the button, it will take the three inputs, run the calculation, and display the output. Okay? So you're going to go in, basically, and look at these problems and figure out how to put them up. Now, there's a lot of people that ignore the fact that on number five, I want the following four inputs. Okay, and they got creative on this one. I wanted, and if you're one of them, you're one of many. Okay, so I want you to have the following four inputs. So that means I need a text box for hours worked. I need a text box for hours contracted to work. I need a text box for pay per hour, and I need a text box for the 1.5 or 2. Okay? And then I'm going to have a button to do the calculating, and I'm going to have another text box to show their pay. Up here, I asked for multiple, some of them I asked for multiple outputs. So total amount and average. So you're going to have two boxes for output. And you're going to do two calculations. Now, it's up to you how to decide to do it. You might have a button that you click to do the total and another button for the average. Or you could just have a button to click that does both of them. It's up to you how you want to do it. Okay, so you could have one button that does both, or you could have two buttons, one that does the total and one that does the average. And it's totally up to you how you do it. Okay, so I will post that, but that is your assignment, is to take JavaScript assignment one. You've already done the pseudocode or logic flowchart for it, and so just now go in and change it and make it come up in Visual Basic. Okay? That's it, folks. We're done, unless you have questions. We're getting out.